Okay. I will do my own introduction. I am me, Gordon. Is that okay? Is that enough? I think that's enough for me. For those that don't know, I do work with the Church of Christ here in Tulsa with Park Plaza. Park Plaza is an energetic group. We have our own deaf work. It's growing. It's grown from about 2 to 5 this time last year to about an average of between every Sunday between 20 to 35. One time, I think we, this year, we got 45 of the deaf. That's not counting the children or the hearing husband or wife that's with them. That's not counting their friends that they invite that are hearing. It's not counting the hearing workers and all of that. I'm telling you, when I say it's 20 to 35, those are deaf. And that's a good growth. I don't think there's many growths that fast. We've had about 1/3 of all those that came has been baptized now. That's a lot. That's a lot. We had 3 baptisms in the last 2 weeks, and God's counting everyone, including the hearing people. We're not counting those, and we baptized one that was a hearing person. So if we counted it like we're talking about, we had 2 deaf being baptized. Just added one more for God, and he was a hearing person. But that was really important because that was Lewis Perry's son, and I think Lewis Perry would say that was an important one. 19 years old, and he came to Christ when he heard his daddy preaching, and he didn't have any idea of what he was saying. He came up, and Lewis Perry said, "Gordon, you're going to have to study with him. He doesn't understand." And so I studied with him. Short time later, he said, "I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins." You know, seeing a father baptize a son, ooh, you know, whew, that is so wonderful. Seeing someone baptize someone that's in a wheelchair, that person has a father that's a Jewish priest, that's really something. And that person has to explain to their father that they believe that Jesus is the Christ. And they asked me, they said, "How do we do that? How did you do that?" Yeah. Those are results of having an active deaf program. People say they want it. Okay, if you want it, get ready to work. Get ready to organize. Because if you want to grow, I think Jesus teaches us to organize. I know Jesus thought a lot about organization because one of the scriptures that we have here, it says here in the word sent, it says he sent out 72. You know, I was counting, I said we had a lot, right? Compared to Jesus, what he had in a short time in his followers, not only did he have 72, he probably had even more than that. He sent out 72, 2 together to encourage one another and tell people Jesus is coming, announce it, and all of that. So we have Jesus himself saying organization, advertising is very, very important. Jesus did a lot better growth in his own body, I think, than he's done in my body. Oh, what did I just say? Jesus is in my body. Jesus lives in me. He breathes in me. I am Jesus' body, and you are if you are following what Jesus says. Think about that responsibility now. And when you organize or anything, you're supposed to be letting Jesus that lives in you do it. So we have Jesus doing the sending. Well, what about Jesus' authority here? Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. Jesus says He's the head of the church. It's more than that. See all of this? You see lines, right? Going down here, over here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here, and here. You see those lines? Think of that as joints. Joining. Because He says here in Ephesians, this works because I am head of the church, and that ties everything together. Now, that is organization. Jesus was organized, and He wants us to be organized. He showed it in those two scriptures right there. You say, well, that was not Jesus here. That was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, let's talk about that. What did Paul say? Who taught him? The Spirit of who? Jesus. Yeah. Some people say, oh, no, that's the Holy Spirit. What is holy? What's the Bible say? What is holy? There's only one. Only one, the Bible says. What is holy? It says it in the Old Testament. What is holy? What is good? God. Who did Jesus say He was when He was in heaven? He was God's Word. Says He emptied Himself. Means He gave up that power, that authority, and all that He had there and came to here on the earth. And then He received it back. Right? When He was crucified, He received it back. When He told His disciples, He said, all authority has been given to who? To me. Who's got the authority? God. So it's not the Holy Spirit. That is God. That is Jesus. So when we hear it here, it's the same as Jesus teaching you. When Paul says it, what's Paul? Who's the one that taught Paul? The Spirit of Jesus. So it's Jesus' word. So I can say, that's Jesus talking. Another thing, he says it's His law, His New Testament, His new rules, if you want to say it that way. Jesus has that authority to say, I am responsible for the church. You organize it my way, not your way. One of the things, have you ever heard the word called? Someone say, I am called. I'll tell you a story about someone that was called. There was a man named Paul, and there was a man named Barnabas. And they were at a good church. Oh, not only good, it was a great church. And this church had some strong members there. They talked about it. Some really strong members. Jesus' idea was, Paul, Barnabas, out. What? We're comfortable here. We're doing good works, especially because, do you know what happened? They were named the same name as Christ, because they were named Christians first at that church. That means Christ-like acting. And the reason for that was because they were understanding that they needed to be helping other people. And when you see someone helping other people, you understand what you are? You're a Christian. That's something. Paul and Barnabas were called by God to go on a trip. Talks about the elders and the people there, they put their hands on them, and they prayed for them and everything because they were supporting them. Well, all of those people that I've put on that list, and you can put names on them, I didn't. We have names that we could put there, and I'll talk about maybe one or two of those later on. But those people that are there are called the same as Paul was, to become servants. And everyone in our group that we have, if they're one of the elders, if they're one of a deaf leader, if they're one of a deacon, if they're one of a preacher, if they're one that's responsible for the adult work, if they're one that's responsible for the young adult work, and all of that, they are not just expected to do other things and other works in serving. They're not going to only serve here. They're going to serve at the lower part. Because if they're not working in the lower part, they don't belong there. They just don't belong there. So anyone that wants to be a leader in the deaf work, the first thing you have to accept is, I have to give up a lot of my time. My family's going to be in it. My kids are going to learn the sign language. My friends, I'm not going to see them as much that are hearing, because I'm going to be associating with the deaf a lot more. Yeah. There are costs. So, when you organize into teams, into a planned organization, it will work if you've got the right attitude going into that. I'll tell you a story. When I was a young man, came out of OSU. Nope, don't have my OSU. I thought I did. Came out of OSU, had worked with the church there a lot. I worked with the young marrieds and I worked with the singles there. I thought I was an old man. Graduated, 22 years old. I'd been teaching there for 3 years. Started when I was 19. Came out of there, came to a place named Memorial Drive, Church of Christ. That's the one that having the workshop here. Went into a class of high school. And the high school was almost as old as me. I was invited to help the teacher. Another engineer had talked to me at work and said, I need help. Would you help me? I've heard about you and what your work was at OSU. Would you help me in the high school? I said, sure. I walked in. He was not there. The class was full. Not even enough seats for everyone. Didn't need all those seats. Because the first thing I did, if I was going to be responsible for the class, was some of them were going to be out. You know why? Because some of them were sitting on their Bibles. Some of them had them on the floor. And the first thing I said, I want everyone to show the right respect for your Bibles and show respect to God and to your parents, and I want all of those off the floor, and I don't want you sitting on them. Four boys decided they didn't have to do that. Never had to before. Didn't have to now. Four boys were out of the class really fast, and we had enough seats. Do you know what happened next? When I walked out the door, You know who was there to meet me? Four groups of parents. Yeah. I planned on them being there. Did you know that? Yeah. Now I had my team for the high school. And I told them that. I said, thank you so much for volunteering. You're on the team. We're going to have many, many different programs for the young people. And we started a young people's program. They were not even allowed in the classroom without the parents there. Things changed fast. Attitudes changed fast. And we had a youth program that they'd never had before. We were going to visit hospitals. We were having Bible studies. We were having all the things that you would think that a youth program would have. We were cleaning cars. We were mowing yards. I mean, we were working. And we were going to all the youth activities. Those four boys are such good friends of mine now. Yeah. But what I'm saying in the illustration I'm telling you about, when you are a leader, you have to love people enough that maybe they'll even hate you for it. Yeah. Yeah. You do that with your kids. Is that not right? Yeah. We got that going and it was successful. And the elders said, thank you. We need you now in our group that's responsible for Bible studies, for visitation, and all of that. Do you think you could establish a team for doing that? I said, boy, I love this group now. But if you want me to, I know they can do it without me. Because we establish an organization like this one for them. And I just organized enough that really I organized myself out of work because they wanted me to start another one. We did it to that group. It was successful. And we started baptizing a lots of people with a lots of Bible classes, with many, many organized teams for people feeling like they are able to do it themselves. What did I do? I worked myself out of another job because then they said, we had a girl that had gone and she had learned sign language and she had went to a place where they had a deaf work and she wanted to see a deaf work started at Memorial. The elders invited me in. They said, you're going to start a deaf work. This time I shook my head. They didn't understand the meaning of that because they said, thank you. You are responsible for organizing a deaf work and starting it. Never met a deaf person that I knew. 6 weeks of training from a really skilled person in sign language. She had been signing for 6 weeks only. I thought she was a expert at that. Didn't know. She couldn't even read sign language. We converted and found deaf in 6 weeks. And the people that were there helping us, they left. They went home. Brenda Rumsey, me, Gorman, David Weaver, We had it. We were responsible for it. And we didn't know how to do it. I had to interpret, and I didn't even know. They were so patient with me. But the work, it grew fast. But the sad thing is, one of those works, if you don't organize it good enough, will go, you can ask others, not only me. You can ask Hollis about things like that. You can ask Bob about that. They've experienced those things. And I don't like that experience of seeing one go, poof. You know what was wrong? Me. I can blame the elders for it and all of that, but do you know who didn't educate our new elders about the deaf good enough? I just thought they knew. It was different elders than had told me to establish one. And we had grown to maybe 50 deaf at times coming to church. Yeah. What's that say? When I tell you how to organize one, I'm telling all of you that the elders are not experienced, skilled in the culture of the deaf, like I told you, some of you before that. They're not. You know, you choose elders on their age and wisdom and experience. Well, what if you remove one of those things and they have no experience in the culture of the deaf? Do you think they're going to make some mistakes? Do you think you're going to be able to educate them? You're going to try. But if they don't live in the deaf culture, you'll never totally get that done. But you have to try. I just accepted that they understood. And that was wrong of me. So now, I'm older, and I hope wiser now. And my job is not only to serve the deaf and the people that work in the deaf group, but my responsibility is also making sure we continually educate the elders. I even talked to one today, and I took a sidetrack there. I talked to one today, and he was telling me some things, and I knew he was totally so far from understanding about the deaf culture. All I told him was, we're going to talk some more because you don't understand the deaf culture, and you don't need to be making any decisions without more understanding. You'd say, probably didn't like that. Probably was defensive against that, right? No. No. Because we've talked before. We've talked before. And we will have many, many more talks. In your paper that you have, I have listed just shortly every place on there with a little things. Not that that's in my speech to you, because I just want to talk about a few of those so I can really emphasize them. I told you how important it was to have the right elders because they need to be educated in the deaf culture. I told you how important it was to have a leader that truly is older. If the elders don't really understand it, you need to find someone that's older. Maybe one of the elders to be there. Maybe one. Maybe a preacher to be there. Maybe a member to be there that's older. But you have to be very, very careful in that. But let's talk about some other areas. In the Scriptures, One of the things that I find that we don't follow very, very close is preaching.
What?
Preaching. Yeah. I find that most of the time the churches had different people stand up and preach. I think people were supposed to be continuing to improve in their education of Jesus' wants and needs and all of that, so that many, many different ideas of how to grow in Christ would be communicated, and that was in preaching. He told them, he said, I want you to do it in order so that there is not everyone speaking at the same time. And maybe that's why we don't even have qualifications for preachers. Did you notice that in the Scriptures? It talks about elders' qualifications, right? It talks about deacons' qualifications, right? Where is it for preachers? Where is it found? What's the chapter, the verse, the book? Huh? It's not there, right? Maybe that is an adjective of what all Christians are supposed to be becoming. You're supposed to be a proclaimer of the Word, not in church buildings, but where? Where? Everywhere, that's right, in the world. The disciples were told to go into where? Into the church building, right? No, it's into the world, that's right, that's right. So, we start with someone to lead. Now, that person, by what I'm saying, can preach, right? Right? Okay. I want to see some heads nodding. Yes? Okay. See that one? It's way down there. See that one? Coordinator. Do you know how important that one is? And that's down there in the low one. I told you, oh, that's a servant. You understand that servant, right? Her name is Brenda. Brenda. Brenda's got the biggest job of anyone. Yeah. She's the one that contacts everyone. She does work for everyone. She meets every visitor. She sends cards, or her group sends cards and letters to everyone. She makes a list of addresses for me and the others so that we have a church directory for the deaf. She plans, she organizes again and again and again with everyone. This job is so important. And think about this. That one is about the same as this one. You know why? Who does she have to contact again? Everyone? What is her attitude? Her qualification. Her qualifications are what? Well, she can type. That's one, right? What else? She can read. What else? She can understand the different cultures, especially the deaf. She can advertise. She's good at that, right? Yeah. She's really good with people. You got the best one. She's so good with people that I'm going to tell you something that you don't know. Don't tell her I told you this, okay? She didn't graduate from college. She didn't graduate, I don't think, from high school. Everyone loves her so much. You will probably never see what I did, and I showed some of them, and I didn't do it intentionally, and she didn't do this, but it's like her. What's wrong with that? Spelling. There's an O there. Should be an E, right? She makes those kind of mistakes again and again and again, and no one sees it. You know why? They love to hear from Brenda. Elders, I see the emails all the time. Brenda, you are great. And she is. And the deaf feel the same way. We've got someone there that is a really, really sweetheart. And everyone loves her. And you need someone like that, that can be in that place. Another one that's so valuable in our work is right here. The deacon. We have two deacons. We have Fred and we have Tim, both. Both of them, do you know why I say they are so great? What's their name? Deacon? But what do? They have love in their hearts. They are servants. I have worked with many, many good people. They are some of the best. Tim, and I think he's using the sign now here, Tim, because of you. But Tim, he grew up understanding about the deaf culture. So he and I really see things about the same all the time. Fred didn't ever meet a deaf person, I think, until I introduced him to some. Now, man, he loves the deaf. You know how you know for sure that someone loves the deaf? And I'll tell you a secret about him too. Just don't tell him I told you. The deaf will come and they'll have needs because you understand gasoline's going up, 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 and people are limited on Social Security or SSI and things like that. And you have the natural gas going up, 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 up here in Tulsa. I'm sure it's the same other places. And you have the electricity prices going up, 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 up. And milk, whew, I love milk. But what happened? Milk goes up, 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 up. Well, what happens with limited older deaf people with their financials? They can't afford it. And the deaf many times will come to me and come to Fred. And some of them, they'll want to talk to us alone. And they've been there before. And they're embarrassed. And they say, I don't know what to do. I need help. Fred loves them so much. Many times he pays. And the elders say, the deaf never get any money from benevolence or that. Very, very little, ever. Why? Is Fred rich? No, he's not. He's not. What's Fred got? He's got a good heart. And love for God. What do you need in the deaf work, in an organization? You understand what I'm saying? It's important to have an organization. But it's more important to have loving, soft hearts there. So you don't have to follow this one. You can have your own plans and all of that. That's just for show, for you, to understand a little bit about how we do our work. But ours is not perfect. Have you ever baptized someone? Have you ever baptized someone? How many people in here have baptized someone? Have you ever looked into their eyes when they come out of the water? I do that all the time now. I want to tell you, when they were baptized, and you have to understand, we didn't do it like maybe the Bible says. They made it difficult for me. Do you know why? They said, "Gordon?" I said, "Which one's first?" They said, "Well, Gordon, can you do us at the same time?" I said, "I've never done that." And they kind of looked a little bit disappointed. They said, "It's okay." And I said, no, I think I know how." So, got one on one arm and one on the other arm and did like that. I tell other people I did it like this. Same time. When they tell people, not one can say, "I've been a Christian longer than you." Can't say that. They're baptized. But their eyes, when they came out of the water, both of them, that was such relief. We baptized a girl, friend of Lewis Perry's, the other day. She's in a wheelchair. She can't walk. Very, very small. Many, many problems with her body. Her teeth stick out, so she can't close her mouth right. And one more thing, she's afraid of water. Very much afraid of water. Two men, Fred and Lewis, took her into the water. She didn't like that. She said, explained how we're going to do that and all of that. Started it. Nose was fine. Water came in the mouth. Didn't get her under. She's afraid, scared. They were ready to take her out. You were ready, right? Yeah. But I said, no. I asked her, I said, "Do you want to be baptized or not?" She said, "I want to be baptized." So they were ready to do it again. She said, wait. And they did it a little bit different, so that the mouth was covered and all of that, so the water didn't go in. And they put her under. When she came out of the water, the eyes. You could see the relief. Some cry. Some smile. But the eyes are always sparkling. The next week, another man that had seen all of her bravery, that was in a wheelchair, wheeled up to me and said, "Gordon?" Fred said, "What's he talking about?" And I said, "He's ready to be baptized. Only been studying with him part-time, off and on, for only 30 years. Took him into the water. He's one of those men, and Fred had never baptized one by himself before. Took him into the water, and Fred explained all what was going to happen. He said, I know. I've seen it. He's a very serious person. One that doesn't tease that much or laugh that much or anything. Baptized him, he came out of that water, and he became crazy. I thought he was going to jump out of the front of the baptistry because he went, yeah! That relief, that guilt of 30 years was all gone. The curtain pulled. And he turned and he looked up, and I was still watching those eyes. And he started to tear. He said, I love you, Lord. Why did I talk about those things in a topic of organizing teams? You need to understand, you get a reward there. A reward from God. You can see one of your children. Yeah, I said children. Because you're the one that taught them. You're the one that's going to make sure that they go to heaven. You're the one. Is this important? If it's part of baptizing people, that is important. Does it work? I can tell you, it does work. Can it be done in a different way by a soft heart? You sure can. It doesn't have to follow Gordon's ideas. It can follow Hollis's, Lewis Perry's, Carl Moore's. It can follow Craig. You know, we're thinking that Craig's going to really, really do well. We know that he's got a wife that's going to push him. Did you know I invited another family to move to Tulsa? Yeah, they're deaf. I said, do you understand? You could be in one of these big growth churches for the deaf. He's smiling right now because I did. He retired and all of that. And I think he needs to be in a work that's going to really push him to be involved with the deaf, teaching, encouraging all the others. I know he does it where he's at. I'm just jealous. I just want one more worker. One more thing, and then the lesson's yours. And I did veer off again and again and again. My father was 80 years old when he became a Christian. Judy's grandpa was 90 years old when he became a Christian. We have many, many of the deaf in our group that are looking at the end of their life. And when I preach, I talk about that. Because I know they're there because of that reason. Many of them, they're wanting to go to heaven. And we talk about that. I talked to my father since I was in high school, trying to convert my father. My father said no. I wrote him letters from college. He refused to read them. I sent him lessons. He refused to fill them in. Well, my mom said, Dad, we got some letters from the boys. They'd be in bed. I want to read them to you. She'd read my oldest one, brother. Then she'd read my middle one. And then she'd say, oh, we've got one from Gordon. And it'd be a Bible lesson. She'd say, he's talking about the Bible again. And he wants you to obey. I'd get him in the truck. He couldn't escape. And we'd talk about Jesus and about his life. Until he was 80 years old, he didn't have health problems. He was a strong man. He said, Mama, get my clothes ready because tomorrow Gordon's going to baptize me. And I did. 80 years old, 90 years old, we can contact the deaf. We can baptize them. We can help them arrive in heaven. Let's do it. And the lesson's yours. Thank you.